This morning's reading is from Luke 6, verses 46 to 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building his house who dug deep down and laid foundations on rock. When a flood came, a torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without laying a foundation. With the moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Thank you, Louis. Oh, thanks. I may need your help straight away again, Louis. So I thought during the talk, if there's any children and young people that would, because we're doing about building, I thought, if there's any children and young people that would like to design your dream house. I used to love doing this as a kid. You know, you've got a swimming pool, you've got kind of a slide from your bedroom to the garden, anything like that. So if you could take paper and pens out to any children or young people that want to have a go at designing a house. And then after the service, you can come and show me what you've designed. We can have a look at it. So we're doing a theme at the moment about lordship, about what it means for Jesus to be Lord and for God to be Lord. I've realised we haven't talked about Lord of the Rings yet. It's kind of the obvious thing, or at least it was a few years ago. When Beck and I were travelling before I trained to be a vicar, just the year before I went to training, we went travelling for a year and we lived and worked in New Zealand for a short time. And it was at the time that the Lord of the Rings films were coming out. And it was a huge thing in New Zealand because Peter Jackson, who directs them, is a Kiwi. And it was all filmed and produced in New Zealand. So the Kiwis are really proud of the Lord of the Rings. And it was like a huge event. And it was really great to be there when that was happening. And I was thinking about, within the story of Lord of the Rings, who is that Lord? You know, who is the Lord of the Rings? And essentially, and I did a bit of Googling this because I thought, I bet there's some geeks who have written loads, you know, web pages and blogs about this, and there are. But anyway, I read a very brief summary that one person said that essentially the ring is the Lord itself because it becomes all powerful. And so what happens in the stories when we get to kind of this part in the fantasy myth is that they need to find somebody who can carry this ring, which is kind of too powerful to kind of be held, to be taken so it can be destroyed. And they need to find somebody who's humble enough and yet has a sense of adventure. So they find this little hobbit. And because hobbits are kind of humble, homely people, and they think, well, they'll be able to have the ring without being corrupt by what kind of wanting its power, and yet have a sense of adventure enough in order to be brave enough to go on the adventure to destroy it. And so they choose Frodo, and he goes on that adventure. Now, the thing about it is that the ring, because it has so much power in it, it kind of corrupts people. It becomes the lord of people, and it lords it over people. And so what happens is that Gollum, the character of Gollum, kind of shows you what would happen if you take that too far. So he used to be a hobbit, just like Frodo, but the ring kind of corrupted him, and his desire for it became too much. It's a really interesting story about what it means for things to have power, what it means to be corrupted by power. And we've been looking at Lord in the Bible, and we've been through the Old Testament, some of the Old Testament passages, and the word that's translated in English as Lord is one of the most frequently used words in the Old Testament. And the definition, the essential definition of Lord, is a title for a person or deity who has authority, control, or power over others, acting like a master, a chief, or a ruler. But actually, we find that God is quite different, and Jesus is quite different as a Lord to that description. So in this morning's passage, Jesus says to the people who are listening, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, and yet you don't obey me?" Basically, Jesus is saying, there's no point in calling me Lord unless you're actually going to obey me. There's no point calling me Lord unless you're going to follow me. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says something very similar. He says, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So again, the point is that it's not about just saying that Jesus is Lord. It's about living as though he is. It's actually making him an authority in your life and then listening to him, like the song, and then doing what he says. It's not just about hearing it, but it's about hearing it and then doing it. Having someone as Lord doesn't sound very attractive to us. As human beings, we kind of resist this idea that someone would tell us what we can and can't do, that someone would boss us around, because there's something within our human nature that says, no, I'm chief, I'm boss of my life, I get to choose what I do and what I say, no one else is going to tell me what to do and say. So this idea of having somebody kind of ruling over you, telling you what you can and can't do, isn't very attractive to us. But we must remember that Jesus defies all our expectations. So when we think about a lord or a leader, we maybe think about someone who's a dictator, someone who's power hungry, who's very self-serving. But actually, Jesus is the opposite. Think about one of the titles for Jesus. He is humble. He's called the servant king. And we're probably, you know, if we've been to church a few times, we're probably familiar with that phrase, servant king. When you think about it, it makes no sense at all, because if you think about the hierarchy, you have servant at the bottom and king at the top. Oh, thanks, Ted. Is that your house? That's fantastic. Are they battlements? Is it a castle? That's fantastic. I'll leave that over there and we'll build up a collection of houses. So if you think about the hierarchy, you have servant at the bottom and king at the top. And the king tells the servant what to do, and the servant just has to obey. But Jesus says, I am the servant king. So those things that seem like polar opposites are brought together. So in terms of having Jesus as your Lord, it's very different to having a power-hungry king or ruler as your Lord. Jesus wants to make the point. So he tells one of his little stories, these very memorable stories. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. So we know right from the start, this is going to be a story about hearing Jesus' words and putting them into practice. He says, they are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundations on rock. So I need a builder or two. Is there anybody who'd be willing to be a builder for me? Anybody? I've got hard hats. I've thought about health and safety. Ted, would you like to be? And we just need one more. Yep, would you like to come up? So Ted, which hat would you like?
I normally use that.
You normally use that one at home. And what's your name, sir? Theo. Theo. So you come here, Theo. Great name. There you go. You put that on your head. So we've got our two builders here. And they're going to need spades for digging. Ooh, there you go, Ted. Oh, how about that one? Okay, then. Well, they are yours, I suppose. Okay, there we go. So we've got our two builders. And Jesus says, that it's like... Ooh, I've got my notes here. They're like a man, or men in this case, building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. So could you two start digging? Now, as you start to dig, you think, oh, this ground's a bit soft. So dig a little bit deeper, come a bit further down, just keep digging. Your hole's getting bigger, you're getting deeper and deeper. A bit further down. Oh, and now you hit something really hard. So imagine it goes dunk, dunk, dunk. And there you've dug down to the rock. So now you know that that is a safe thing to build your house on. So then you can start building. Okay. So you two stay down there. And you can start kind of laying your foundations and putting your bricks down. Start building your house up. So it's interesting because my memory of this story is that one person builds their house on the rock and the other builds them on a sand. I'd kind of missed this detail about digging deep and laying a foundation. In fact, in the other gospel version of it, it doesn't say about digging down deep. But actually, I think it's a fantastic metaphor, this idea of digging down deep until you get something solid. So it's, and I was kind of thinking about it as that time in your life when you're deciding what your values are, what you're going to build your life upon. And for most people, this happens as you kind of transition from being a teenager to being an adult. Because as a child and as a teenager, you probably absorb most of your values and your worldview from your parents. You grow up in that household and you take on those values. You kind of just take them for granted, that this is how we see the world, this is what's right and wrong, you know, and you kind of live that way. But then maybe as you get older, you start getting exposed to different lifestyles, different ways of living, and maybe you question those things that you've kind of been brought up with. And so all those things kind of get thrown up into the air. And so you have to think, well, what am I going to build my life upon? How am I going to decide what's right and what's wrong? Because people live their lives in all kinds of different ways. And in that time, it's a bit like when you might want to start digging. So here we have the rock, which is Jesus, and then we have all this kind of soil above it, and there we have our diggers at the top. And as we're working out, well, you know, this just seems to be so much that's changing, so many different views, you know, everything seems relative. I need to find something solid. So you start to dig until you get to something that is solid, something that you can build your life upon. Now, maybe that happens when you're a teenager, become an adult, or maybe that happens when something quite big happens in your life. You know, life's kind of going along, you think everything's set, yeah, this is how the world is, and then something happens. It might be a bereavement or, you know, a relationship breakdown or something. And actually you realise that the things you thought, you know, the way you thought the world was, is actually quite different. And then suddenly you have to do that thing again where you think, well, I'm not sure where the solid ground is anymore. And Jesus is saying, what you need to do in those times is to dig down deep, is to do some searching and some thinking and some reflecting until you get to something solid, something that you can build your life upon. In the past couple of years, I've struggled sometimes with the things going on in my life, things going on in my family in particular. It's been quite difficult. And I've described before that sometimes it feels like water rising. You know, when things are difficult in your life, you've got this issue and that issue and something else happening. It's like the water's getting higher and higher. And then it's fine until it gets to a point where it's up to about here. And then you realise that your feet are sort of leaving the ground, and it feels really disorientating. And I've never had a panic attack, but I heard somebody recently describing what that's like. And I thought, yeah, I know something of what that's like, that feeling like your feet aren't touching the floor anymore. And I've realised that what I need to do in order to be grounded is to do some of this work of digging down deep until I get to that foundation, until I remember that I am a child of God, that I belong to Jesus. Because actually the storms of life can come and they can hit pretty hard and they can throw you all over the place and you can become really disorientated. And in those times, you need to dig down deep to that solid rock. And one of the ways recently that I've found to do that, a kind of practice of prayer to do that, is sometimes called contemplative prayer or centering prayer. And I was reading about it, and there's a really simple technique to do this. And it's to do with, rather than when you come to pray, kind of talking a lot and saying, Lord, this is going on, da, 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 and kind of spouting lots of words. Instead, you just kind of sit and be still in God's presence. And it's harder than it sounds. It sounds really simple. But if you're used to somebody whose mind is kind of racing all the time, and the way you pray kind of fits in with that kind of racing monologue of things going in your head, it's actually quite a challenge just to be still and not to say anything to God or to ask anything from him or expect a word or a picture or any kind of revelation, but simply to be in his presence. And here's the technique. It's really simple. What you do is you find somewhere quiet and you sit or you kneel and you try and focus on God. It's harder than it sounds. And one of the ways to do it that helps is to choose a word. So that word might be hope or peace. If you, you know, if you're feeling very in lots of turmoil, it might be peace, or it might be Jesus, or it might be grace or thank you. Just one word or one really simple phrase. And as you sit quietly, try and relax, try and breathe deeply. And if your thoughts start to wander, which they will do, just come back to that word, peace or hope or Jesus or rock or whatever it is. Just keep coming back to that word. And every time your mind wanders, just keep coming back to it. And it's like this process of digging deep. You're kind of digging through all the stuff that's going on in your brain and your emotions. Your emotions go up and down. Your thoughts go round and round. And you're trying to find some stillness. And you dig down and you find that rock that is Jesus. that is immovable. You know, so much is happening in the world, isn't it? The times are changing all the time, and it's, you know, there's so much turmoil going on in the world and maybe in your emotions and in your mind, and you need to find that stillness. And it takes a bit of effort, but what I've discovered is I've been doing that every morning, kind of as a practice. I've now realised that I can now do that kind of as I'm walking around, or maybe during my day I'm getting a bit stressed, I can just take a moment and come back. Oh, what's the word? What's the word at the moment that I'm thinking of? Oh, peace. Come back to that word, peace. And centre myself. And that's what it's about. It's about grounding yourself in God and coming back to that firm foundation. So Jesus continues his story. He says, when the floods came, the torrent struck the house, but could not shake it because it was well built. It had that strong foundation. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Notice that the storm hits both houses. It's not that the man who built his house on the foundation, the strong foundation, didn't have the storm. In fact, they both had the storm. Now, if you've been a Christian for longer than 5 minutes, you'll realise that being a Christian does not stop the storms hitting you, does not stop life being hard and difficult. The difference isn't that there aren't any storms. The difference is that you've got that strong foundation. You can dig down deep and connect with that strong foundation when the storms come, when life becomes difficult. And it might mean that on the surface, the house doesn't look very different. Because the difference is the foundation, not what's on the surface. So your life might look very similar to your neighbour, who's not a Christian. You know, maybe they're just a really kind-hearted atheist. You know, they help at the local food bank, they give to charity, they're really kind to their neighbours. And so on the surface, their life looks really similar to yours. So the difference isn't what's on the surface. The difference is what's underground. It's the foundation. It's built on that solid rock of Jesus. Something other than just, oh yeah, this is a good idea. Or I feel like helping someone out today. Or I feel like doing this kind of thing. It's not about just about feelings. It's about that solid foundation of Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Hi, Ted. You okay? Yeah. So, we need to invest in our relationship with Jesus. When Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he said, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul picks up on this theme from Jesus' teaching, that Jesus is our firm foundation, and we need to know him more. We need to believe and know that he is our Lord. We need to hear from him and then put it into practice. When life seems uncertain, we need to dig down deep to that foundation, to dig down to Jesus, to move closer to him. When life is difficult and stressful, we need to dig down deep and connect with Jesus, our foundation. When the storms of life come, and they will come, and they do come, we need to build our life on Jesus so that we can stand even in the worst of storms. Amen. I'm going to invite the band back up now. They're going to sing a song, and the beginning of the song says, Lord, I come before your throne of grace. I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. When we come to Jesus, we come to him to find that rest and find that peace. Within the turmoil of things that are going on, we can come to him and find that rest and that peace. Let me just pray briefly before we sing together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this story, which talks about digging down deep until we connect with you. Lord, help us to do that. When our minds feel so confused about what's going on, when our hearts and our emotions feel so up and down and hit by the storms of life, may we remember your invitation to dig down deep and to connect with that ground and centre of our being that is you, Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.